So when he heard that story, he's like, well, why don't you just, you know, hang out with me? Stay for the week, you know, stay, just come over. And it's okay, don't worry about the weekend. When you know, you can call your family back when they return and then go back home. And I'm like, okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Your response was okay?
This is the plaintiff, Mackie. She says she met the defendant in the emergency room while she was getting an EKG. And soon after that, they moved in together. The guy pressured her into having sexual relations with him and became frustrated when she thwarted his advances. He ended up locking her out, caused her all sorts of problems, and as it turns out, he was one of the most awful human beings she has ever had the displeasure of knowing. She's suing for $5,000 for all she's out. This is the defendant, Joel. He says the plaintiff slipped him her phone number during a hospital procedure, ended up going home with him that night, and then moved in. They had sexual relations, developed a relationship, and 6 or 7 months later, things changed. One night, she even brought another guy back to his place. That was it with her. He moved out. The landlord changed the locks, and now she has the nerve to sue him here in court? Ridiculous. But hey, it's a free country. He's accused of not treating his lady right.
All parties, please raise your right hands.
What you are about to witness is real. The participants are not actors. They are actual litigants with a case pending in civil court. Both parties have agreed to drop their claims and have their cases settled here before Judge Marilyn Million in our forum. The People's Court.
Be seated. Come to order, please. Litigants have been sworn, Your Honor.
Thank you, Douglas. Okay. You both asked us not to mention your last names. Mackie, you're suing Joel for $5,000 for pain and suffering and loss of an apartment, which you say is entirely his fault. Tell me what happened.
Yes, Judge. I met Joel in the ER in December of 2013. He was the EKG that the EKG tech that they sent in to read my, to have the monitors attached and everything. After my EKG was done, I realized that I cannot go home because my family had went away for the week, for the weekend, and I had no keys to go home. So
how were you home before?
They went away for the weekend.
What were you in the hospital for?
My heart rate was really, really fast, and I had gone through a panic attack. So my sister dropped me off at the hospital that day. So when he came in, you know, he performed the EKG and everything. And he started talking with me, trying to keep me calm or whatever at the moment. And I said, you know, I'm really now at a point where I'm trying to figure out whether or not I should call someone else to come pick me up from the hospital because my family's away. So when he heard that story, he's like, well, why don't you just, you know, hang out with me? Stay for the week, you know, stay, just come over. And it's okay, don't worry about the weekend. When you, you know, you can call your family back when they return and then go back home. And I'm like, okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Your response was okay?
Yeah.
Not to call your best friend or go stay?
No. I don't have any best friends, and I have very limited family. And I explained that to him as to why I couldn't contact anyone else to go home that night. I didn't have anywhere else to stay. I had nowhere else to stay that night, Judge.
Except for that you stayed there for how long?
I'm sorry, Judge?
How long did you stay in his apartment?
We decided to live together to pay the rent. We decided to live together.
So now it's just you met a guy, you liked him, and you moved in.
No, Your Honor, it wasn't that way.
What are you doing? You're a healthcare professional.
Yeah.
You meet a woman under these circumstances,
right,
and you're giving her your address and having her stay over?
Well, the way it happened, I went to do the EKG on her. And I was totally professional because I don't, you know, when I'm at work.
You was totally professional when? When you're doing the EKG or a few hours later when you have her checking up with you?
I came to do the EKG, and then while I was right before I started EKG, she took her hand and popped it up and said, you know anybody who wants some of these?
She took what?
She took her hands and pushed her breast up and said, you know anybody who wants some of these? I looked at her in shock, and I kind of like kept my mouth shut because I didn't want to respond. And I finished a procedure, and right before the curtain was pulled, she passed me her number. And from then on, I kind of thought about it, And
and you couldn't wait to jump into the life of a crazy person.
No,
because if she did what you're talking about,
honestly,
she's
Honor,
nuts. Because she doesn't know you. She doesn't know that. She doesn't know if you have a family. She has no idea if you're a rapist. She knows nothing. So, of course, any woman that would do that, you would go, whoo, and go tell the hospital personnel that she needs a psych eval, right?
I regret that. I regret that, you know, and I realized
So what you did instead was invite her to your place.
No,
Does the hospital know that you did this?
Throughout the night.
Well, they know now.
Throughout the night, ma'am, you know, she tugged at my heart, and, you know, and I have
to... She tugged at your heart?
Well, when I listened to her story...
Have you got the right body part?
Well, I'm not going to deny it, ma'am. I was a, you know, she came across as very sincere. She came as very believable, and I have to admit, she was very attractive. And to me, I felt like, well, let's just see, because, you know, she said she was going to go to the shelter. And you know what?
So you have her come over, and then do you live alone?
Yes, ma'am. I had an
And then she stays there for how long?
Well, at first it was supposed to be temporary until her, you know, family or she got in touch with somebody. But then
in touch with somebody.
Until she get in touch with her family and then she would, you know, leave more or less. You know, but then we got to know each other, we talked. I was basically charmed and I fell for her, Your Honor. And I'm telling you, I'm not perfect. And I did fall for her. And right now I regret, you know, that decision because, you know, everything was fine. I was working a full-time job and also had a part-time job. So the money was good. She claimed that she couldn't work because she was suffering from severe back pain. So for the first 3 months, time just flew with us. You know, everything was like whirlwind romance, you know, and I was the happiest I've ever been in a long time. Before her, I didn't have a girlfriend. I was alone, and I was feeling lonesome. And then she came, and for some reason, I just, you know, succumbed, you know, to her charm. And then after I got laid off my full-time job, you know, and the money was like half. I was only working part-time now, weekend only. So I spent more time in the house. And all of a sudden, you know, she stopped being physical with me because the money wasn't coming like, and then, you know, we started arguing, you know, and so the arguing was continuous. It was like—
About money?
Yes, ma'am, and also because she, you know, sometimes, you know, her emotion was volatile. I didn't find out till afterward that she's under, you know, a doctor's care, psychiatric, you know, and she has been under psych, you know, and she's a psych patient. I never knew that. She waited till—
Is that accurate?
No, it's not. It's not accurate as him not never knowing that, Judge.
Oh, okay, but I need to know because you're testifying.
Definitely.
I need to know, understand.
Yes,
do you have a specifically diagnosed disorder?
Yes, absolutely.
What is it?
It's major depression, and I've been taking these medications since 2013, September of 2013. I was suicidal. I lost my mom, my grandmother, and my brother.
Did you attempt suicide?
Yes, I did.
When did you attempt suicide?
This was in December, before I met him. I ended up there.
The same December.
Yeah, and this is why I ended up back in the hospital. I was not well. I stayed the entire week, the whole Christmas week I spent at the psych ward for attempt of
suicide.
When
you met him, you weren't in the psych ward?
No, I was not.
Were you in a relationship with him?
I would not call that a relationship, Judge.
Because
what it was, I was forced, everything that happened that whole year, I was forced into it.
What do you mean?
Because he knew I had nowhere to go. Because
everything you did, you were forced to do. What does that mean? Because I noticed that you said to your social worker that you were repeatedly sexually abused by him. Emotionally, sexually, and psychologically abused.
He's a very forceful, and right now he's showing a side of where he is completely innocent of his demeanor and his sexual advances. From day one, I had no idea this is what was going to happen.
So you stayed there how long again?
I lived there for a year. And
a year?
Spent my time living in the living room.
I'm having a hard time believing you were repeatedly raped every time you had sex with him.
I lived in the living room, Your Honor.
You were repeatedly raped. Every single time you had sex with him, it was non-consensual.
It was non-consensual. Because
I was not. Every single time.
Judge, honest to God.
And you'd rather get raped all the time than go to a shelter.
No, that's not what it was. I went to a shelter before. And the violence there was worse than anything I've seen.
Than being raped all the time in your own apartment? See, this is important to me. Because if I don't believe you on that, I should believe you on very little of what you say.
No, I was really, I didn't want to share this with anyone.
So what happened? What is it you're suing him for? Explain this to me. What is it you're suing him for? Tell me what you're suing him for.
The $2,000 I'm suing him for is for the fact that he waited till I left for the weekend. And he then vacated the place after months of me
But he,
do-
he doesn't
there.
Own this place. You don't mean he vacated your stuff. You mean he left. He stopped renting that apartment.
He didn't give us any notice at all. He didn't
Who's
give
us?
Myself and the owner of the house. You have to give 30 days prior to moving out.
Yeah, but you can't claim the owner of the house's problems. The owner of the house What happened?
Well, Your Honor, what happened is, first of all, let me just say that we used to say I love you to each other. She convinced me that she loved me. And I did love her. I loved her very much. Okay? And when I found out, she told me to my face, I don't love you no more. I was very hurt. But I continue to hope that, you know, that she can, you know, she said, give her time. And I did. You know, she wasn't working. I was paying the cell phone. I was buying the groceries. She didn't have no contact with her mother. I was paying a rent of $950. It wasn't until the latter part of the year, around October and November, that she convinced me to sign a lease agreement, because she said, I know somebody in social service that can fast track it, whereas I can get some money to help with the rent.
Because she convinced you to what?
To sign a lease agreement to say that, you know, she's, you know.
Leasing from you?
Yes.
Spit it out. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, ma'am.
Can I see that document?
Yes. This is the lease that he signed, which is why I refused to leave the apartment. I asked him to leave instead.
Is this what you want, the lease?
Do you have a lease with him?
Yes, I do.
Is that what you handed my bailiff?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Did you ever pay rent?
Yes, I have, Judge.
Did you pay $310 a month?
I paid more than that.
When did you move out? When did you move out?
I moved out January 23rd. At the time, the reason I even signed that is because we were getting along. There was no reason for me to rent to a place, because she was my woman, okay? And she told me that,
people,
you know,
could get into this kind of arrangement. What do you think, that you think I'm supposed to just rip this up because you get to go ahead and write stuff like this and give it legal effect to the housing department so that you can get tax funds, but whatever you do, Judge, don't hold me to that. I want it to have legal effect when I want it to have legal effect?
No, I'm not saying that, ma'am.
Well, that is what you're saying, because you don't want me to look at this. See, let me tell you why this is critical. Because up to now, I was thinking she's just a guest in your house, because that's what you've always said, and that you then moved out without giving her notice, and my response to her was going to be, you don't deserve notice. You're not allowed to get notice. You don't have, there's no requirement for notice. Tough for you, honey.
Well, can I tell you?
And then I see a lease agreement between the two of you. Wow.
She sued the landlord also.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure she lost.
Of course.
No, she won, because she cried in the court and she told all kind of stories.
No.
You were there.
Hold on. You did not get money from the landlord.
Yes, I did, Judge.
You did?
Welcome back to the People's Court. Harvey Levin here. So how long should you date somebody before you make the big move and move in together?
I'd say about 1 year.
A year?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody go less than a year here?
Really?
6 months.
Why are you saying?
I think that, you know somebody after 6 months of dating.
Okay, then let me put it a different way. When do people stop acting on their best behavior and show who they are in reality?
Probably a year or two.
So you, well, who said 3 years?
I said 3 years.
Okay, it's going up, going inside the courtroom.
What did you get from the landlord?
They communicated together to arrange, do have
because
their arrangement.
What did the landlord do?
He illegally locked me out. He changed every lock in the house. When I came home, everything was changed. Everything, my property was in the street, some in the backyard, some here, some there.
So you sued the landlord?
Mm-hmm.
And what'd you get?
For illegally locking me out. Just for $1,000.
How
because
much?
Of 30 days.
How much?
$1,000 for 30 days of being without my property, have no coat in this 10 degree weather we
so
had.
So then what are you planning to get
no
from him?
Access. I had
if you've
no
got $1,000, how much more out are you of anything? How is that not sufficient to compensate you when you're supposedly paying $310 a month? How is that not sufficient to compensate you for your troubles?
How
is it you get to double dip now and collect from him when you collect it from the landlord?
They're both at fault for what happened. And the thing is,
I'm going to give you
helped,
the final word. What is it you wanted to say?
Yes, ma'am.
I made his resume.
Stop talking.
Everything. Everything. I did everything for him.
Okay. And he helped you for a year. Go ahead.
Ma'am, when she moved in with the clothes on her back, and slowly she started.
Okay, we're not going to go over this
but
again.
She didn't
what did
have
you want to say
the
about the last thing? Go ahead.
The furniture, she had no furniture. It was my furniture, okay?
And yeah,
the
I'm finding that hard to believe that it was all your furniture
when
you had nowhere to go and ended up going home with
my house was lavishly furnished.
I'm done.
Okay.
I find that the plaintiff has not sustained her burden of proof. My verdict in this case is for the defendant.
Well, come on out in the hallway here. On the losing end of this case, you heard the judge rule for the defendant, and what's your feeling on that?
I felt it was really a very bad decision on the behalf of the fact that I couldn't even produce all of the evidence that I do have to show my liability in all of this, you know, for what the defendant mm-hmm. had put me through.
How do you feel about the way you two guys met? Did that really happen?
It did, only because I trusted him as a hospital employee, knowing that, hey, you know what? I know where you work.
Did it happen the way he said it happened?
No, it did not. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Mm-hmm.
Did you have feelings for him? Did you love him?
I did not love him. I did not love him. I cared for the man, for helping me somewhat to get to have a place to live. However, the stress that he's put me through and everything that I did for him, I felt I deserved more than that.
Okay. All right, fellow Officer McIntosh, please, around the corner here. All right, and so you're standing there with your back to her as she's speaking over here. Come on, step in a little closer. I see the tears in the eyes. What's going through your mind?
When I heard her say she never loved me, it's very, very painful. You know, because she used to say I love you very much, and I used to say I love her too. We used to be on the beach in each other's arms, each embrace, and now to hear these words.
All right, let's go to Harvey.
Okay, you know what, Kurt, this is sounding all too weird. It sounds like everything in this relationship was consensual and she is just making this up. That will do it for this case. Litigants for the next case on the way into the courtroom right now.
These are the plaintiffs, Sarah Donahoe and Robert Nelson. Sarah says the defendant, their neighbor, left their house one day and dented their car. That's right, the childish man kicked their car out of anger, leaving them with $2,000 worth of damage, missed work, and pain and suffering. And that's just what they're suing for today. This is the defendant, Edward Petrucca Jr. He says the plaintiff, Robert Nelson, pushed him out of anger during an argument they were having, and he fell into the car. The damage was the size of a dime, for crying out loud, and now they're trying to make a federal case out of it. Simply put, the plaintiffs have a lot of money problems, and they think they can cash in by blaming him for something he didn't do. He's accused of losing it on a car.
All parties, please raise your right hand.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Next case on the docket, the plaintiffs say the defendant kicked their car out of anger and damaged it bad, but the defendant says the male plaintiff pushed him into the car, so it's his fault. It's the case of when push comes to shove.
Thank you, Douglas.
You're welcome.
Sarah Donahoe?
Yes, Your Honor.
And Robert Nelson?
That's correct.
You are suing Edward Petrucca?
Petrucca.
Petrucca for $2,000 in damage, pain and suffering, and missed work because, according to you, he damaged your car intentionally. What happened?
There was a verbal argument that we
had. How did you all know each other?
Oh, we're neighbors.
Okay, but were you friends also?
We were.
All right.
And then at one point...
Who was he friends with, both of you or one of you?
Both of us.
Okay.
There was some problems. And
what were the problems?
There was just drama between everything, other neighbors.
Like what?
Dyfus called.
Yeah.
Wait.
Stuff like that.
Who called Dyfus on who?
We don't know.
You think he did?
I have no idea.
Him or the other neighbor.
The Department of Children and Family Services, whatever you
was
call
involved,
it in your
yes.
state. And
yes.
Go ahead.
We told Mr. Petrucca that we did not want to speak with him anymore.
Because you thought he did?
Yes.
Okay.
Or involved with the other party that did.
Okay.
Yes.
How many children do you have?
One.
How old?
She'll be five.
Okay.
She's four.
And the car was claiming what?
What was that?
Abuse. I left my child at home alone.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And it wasn't true.
Okay. So they came, they investigated, they closed it.
Yes.
Closed it.
Okay. Go on. So he comes over, you have an argument about it because either you feel he made the call or he's associating with somebody who did.
Yes.
And then what?
We told him to leave. We did not want him on our property.
What was he doing over there?
I have no idea.
He didn't know you knew?
I guess he came to address the situation between him and the other lady, I guess.
Okay.
And started asking me questions. I said, I told you not to come on my property anymore. You're not welcome here.
What kind of questions was he asking?
Just like, why do you think that I called and some
okay,
other situations.
Okay, so you want to discuss it, you don't want to discuss
yeah.
it, and what happens?
So I told him to leave, and I said, I'm shutting the door now. I shut the door. He persisted in knocking on the door heavily. I said, I opened the door once more. I said, Ed, if you don't leave now, I'm gonna make you leave. I shut the door and he hit the door again. I proceeded to open the door. I pushed him down the steps. I shut the door to get my sneakers on. By that time, he kicked the front panel of her car.
Hold on. How many steps are, when you say push him down the steps, three steps?
Three steps, yeah.
How far from the last step is the car?
6 feet.
Mm. 20 no, or six?
6 feet.
You have a picture?
No, it was. It was 6 feet.
About 6 feet from
it's
the desk.
It was.
No.
Then what happens?
I came outside and he's running down the street.
running down the street.
Yeah.
So what is it he had done to your car? Do you have a picture?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. We also have a police report as well.
Yeah.
Stating that he actually kicked our car.
Can I see the police report?
Absolutely.
So what happened?
Well, it isn't like what they're saying.
So you tell
what
me
happened was I went to go talk to him about some issues which we did have in the past. Had nothing to do about no diapers, nothing like that. That's been, we was friends, so he even came over and talked to me about his diapers issue, and he knows whatever was going on with his diapers issue with other people where they live at. It was issues that they caused with other people. So what diapers happened was between them. It had nothing to do with me.
Okay, so what were you there at his house, and what was the problem that day?
That day, I went over there to speak with him about the issues that was going on around
which
there.
Which was what?
Which was about
him. If it
him
wasn't diapers,
no,
what
it
was it?
Which what it was about. It was about him getting in trouble all the time and blaming me to his girlfriend. Him tolling his girlfriend's
car. Wait, no, I'm sorry. Him getting in trouble all the time. You have to
be like, we went out to a bar quite a lot. We used to hang out, go to the bar. He used to always get kicked out of the bar instantly, a few times. Not allowed back to the bar again.
On account of what?
On the counter, him threw a dart, hit a girl on the neck as soon as we walked in. Like, violent. Like, we went out to a club to go clubbing with his own friends, went to a hotel, he destroyed the hotel room. They didn't even know how he got back. I helped him get back. So, like, I'm not the problem causer. So I went, and so, listen, he's not the one to tell me, stay away from nothing. I was telling him, leave me alone, don't come back around
but
my parents' house.
But why are you on his property to tell him what? If you're going to leave each other?
Because, first of all, he was trying to be a bully, and I went to go straighten this out. I want to go straighten this out, man to man. Like, that's how we say it. That's how he says he'll never call the cops. Like, well, all right, you want to fight? He wants to fight. All right, so then we take it down one of the side streets, Dark. Man to man, we fight, we come out, we shake hands, it's over with. Let's just let it go after that.
Were you trying to patch it up?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
so
what
you
happened
go over
was,
there to talk to him about
I'm
it.
I'm not going
to
do his acts like a tough guy. I had a few drinks of him. Whenever he gets drinks of him, his girlfriend also knows, because a few times that's how the cars got damaged in the past. Whatever. I'm not going to do it. He opens the door like a tough guy. So I'm like, dude, I just want to talk to you. Would you come outside and talk? He's like, oh, dude. Like, starts, like, mimicking. He's got friends in there. He's talking, getting, like, trying to get jumpy in my face. So I'm like, come outside and we'll talk. And now I'm starting to get frustrated because I see he's disrespecting me. And he's just being a total, you know, jerk to me or whatever. And so I'm like, all right, let's go out. Come outside. We'll take it down the street if you want to get like that. But that's not what I was there for. Just straighten it out. Say, let's just get this
so
over with.
So he asked you to leave.
So he asked me to leave, and he slams the door. Actually, he wasn't even like that. He just slammed the door in my face. He didn't ask me to leave. He slammed the door in my face. So I'm like.
So why didn't you just leave?
Well, by then I was frustrated by the way he was treating me. So I was already blowing steam out of my ears. So I'm knocking on the door. I'm like, all right, come on, let's answer the door. Talk to me like a man. Let's talk like a man. Instead, I hear him in there talking, screaming, whatever. Honey, give me my gun. Before I seen his gun before, it don't threaten me. So I'm like, whatever, come outside. So I was leaving, as I was getting ready to leave, he opens the door and shoves me from my back down four or five stairs, whatever. Now I'm fuming. Because then he ran in the house and slammed the door. So now I'm like, you know what? That right there was, why do that while my back's turned? Why wouldn't you come out and face me?
So what'd you do?
So from there, I went back, knocked on the door again. And I'm like, come outside. But by then, I didn't realize that when I went down the stairs, I might have fell into the car, which I do believe I did. And a friend of mine, I did say I did fall into the car. Because the car is only from here to her.
Okay,
and
but
the stairs is right there.
Right, but how would you fall
and
down?
I was a little upset, so
can
I'm
I talk?
So, is it possible this defendant fell down the stairs and the momentum carried him into the car?
No way. That's a real dramatic story. That really is.
Is it possible?
No, it's not possible.
So you think he did it out of anger?
Yes.
Are you nodding?
No, it had to be out of anger.
No way that momentum can push you down a flight of stairs into the curb.
No way. Not at all.
I'm buying what you're saying. Going inside the courtroom.
How would you fall down the steps, then carry the momentum to hit the side of the car like that?
Well, I was pissed. I'm sorry. I was mad.
Okay, so you did it on purpose. Not when if you were pissed, then
yeah,
you...
it was sort of on purpose. But okay, I tried to control myself.
Did you kick it?
I tried to control myself.
Did you kick it? Because that looks like a kick.
I tried to control myself before I did any serious harm.
Kind of looks like a kick. Is it a kick?
It was, but what I'm saying was that, listen, what I was trying to say was that
if he didn't call Dyfus on you falsely, I would want to keep him around as a friend because he's very entertaining. So.
What I'm saying, Jan, is that I don't think that this was what they're asking to sue me for, $2,000.
Okay, so you feel that you're not disputing that you kicked the car.
No,
or at least now you're not. You're not disputing you kicked the car. You're just saying that you think they're blowing up the
estimate. At the moment, I told him, let's go get I apologized to him like 2 days later, whatever.
Did
and
he?
I said,
he confessed and apologized?
Not that I'm aware.
Oh, this
not
is
that not know.
I understand that, but I wanted to get it taken care of. Instead, they brought me to criminal court on this.
Oh, and what happened with that?
And why didn't it get dismissed is because that I was
Did you take a plea? Did you take a plea?
Yeah, I took a plea for disorderly conduct.
All right.
That was all it was. That's all
and then you had $400 in fines for disorderly conduct.
So, but no, I feel is that money could have went to when I asked them to repair that little dent. That was it.
All right. What's your pain and suffering that you are claiming $900 for so you can double up your case?
He's my neighbor. I don't want there to be any problems. What happens if he comes over out of anger again and does something else?
I don't know. Why would that entitle you to have him pay you your fear that something's going to go wrong in the future is going to entitle you to make him pay you double what your lawsuit's about?
Your Honor, we're happy with whatever you decide. We
that means so much
accept.
To me.
Okay.
I'm glad.
All right. No on your missed days of work. No on pain and suffering. This isn't a pain and suffering case. Pain and suffering is for personal injury type cases, not for this kind of case. I suppose you could ask for punitives, but since your husband, is it your husband or your boyfriend?
Fiance.
Oh, really? Where's the ring? There you go. Do you have a date?
Not yet.
How long have you had the ring?
A while.
Yeah. Because the kid's 5.
I know.
All right. Okay. I presume that you could ask for punitive damages, but given the fact that your fiance shoved him down the steps, I don't know that you two are really in a position to say his behavior was so outrageous we have to teach him a lesson, because his behavior was pretty outrageous too. Therefore, the estimate on the car, which I find to be a reasonable estimate based on the picture that I'm seeing, is it $812.45?
I got two estimates.
The lower one is $812.45, right? Right. So I am ordering $812.45 in damages and, of course, your court costs. Okay?
Okay.
That's my judgment.
Thank you.
Well, let's see what the defendant has to say about the outcome of this case here coming in the hallway after you heard what the judge ruled there.
I'm happy. I'm happy that I'm just happy it's all over with. I'm just satisfied. I'm satisfied with what the judge says.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fair.
Okay, good. Is it all over with now between all of you?
It has been. It has been. We haven't actually talked in about a year. I just wish it never happened in the first place. It was a stupid choice I made.
Uh-huh. So you regret what you did then?
Yeah, I sure do.
You ever want to just say you're sorry to the guy?
I did.
Did you?
I did.
They're right there, you know?
Yeah. Well, I apologize. Sorry.
All right, nice. Okay. All right, right down this way, Officer McIntosh. And right, come on in here. What more can a guy say than that? Is that good enough for you?
It's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a couple things that could have been my day's pay, but that's okay.
Yeah, he just looked right at you and said, I'm sorry.
That's great.
Good.
I'm happy for him.
You're cool with everything now?
Everything's fine now.
All right, okay, good, Harvey.
Okay, Kurt, you know what? Once the defendant cops a plea, he's a cooked goose in civil court because the standard of proof in a criminal case is way higher. That will do it for this case. Litigants for the next case on the way into the courtroom right now.
This is the plaintiff, January Vasquez. She says the defendant was her landlord, and as she was moving out, he rented the place to someone else. They moved in, and she found him lying on her couch and using some of the furniture she didn't take out yet. The furniture was practically new, and she can't believe the defendant did this to her, considering they had a good relationship for 3 years. Quite frankly, she's outraged and is suing him for every penny of the $3,800 she's owed. This is the defendant, John Forrest. He says the plaintiff called him in a panic, telling him she had to move immediately. He thinks it had something to do with her criminal past and jail, because she asked him to represent her because he's also a lawyer. The plaintiff told him she had to leave some furniture behind, basically abandon the apartment with no forwarding address, and here they are. He's accused of leaving it all behind.
All parties, please raise your right hand.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Next case on the docket, the plaintiff says her landlord re-rented her unit before she was able to get all the stuff out, and now the new tenant's using it. But the defendant says the plaintiff abandoned the furniture. It's the case of fire sale in 3B.
Thank you, Douglas.
You're welcome,
January Vasquez, you are suing John Forrest, your former landlord, for $3,800 in the value of furniture that you say he refuses to return to you. What happened?
Well, I called the defendant on August 15, 2014 at around 1 p.m. and told him that I wasn't able to pay the rent for the month of August.
When were you supposed to have paid the rent?
Well, for August.
August 1st?
Yeah, August 1st.
Right. Okay.
My son had ended up going into jail. He was my income from his Social Security, so he ended up
going.
Do
you work?
No, I'm going to have a hearing for Social Security as well.
Right, but how were you supporting yourself before that?
My son.
Okay, his Social Security was supporting both of you?
Yes.
Okay. You lived in the defendant's apartment, correct?
Yeah.
And how long had you lived there?
Almost 2 years.
And before that, you had lived in another one of his apartments?
Yes, for one.
You're an attorney?
Yes, I am.
What kind of law?
I do a general practice, but I do some criminal, I do some real estate.
Okay, so in August 14th, you say, you call him and tell him, I can't pay August rent, I can't pay rent anymore, I gotta move.
Yes.
Okay, and when do you move?
I moved out before the 20th. I was out of there by the 16th.
Okay, but you weren't because you left all your furniture there.
I told him that I was gonna come back and get my furniture.
You told him how?
When I called him,
did you text him or did you email?
No, when I called him that day on the phone, I told him that I was going to get my furniture out, but I didn't know when I was going to get it out yet.
Well,
I went back there on the 20th with a truck with my father and my friend, and we went to go load the truck up. But when I opened the door, there was a young kid laying on the couch already on my furniture.
Okay, come on up. Were you the person who was with her on the 20th of August?
Yes.
And what happens?
I immediately, when I found out, okay, something's not right here, I went out to the truck to tell her father who was out in the truck.
Okay, is your father here?
No, he's in the Air Force.
Who's the other gentleman who's there?
Just moral support.
Moral support. Okay, so go on. So you go to tell her father, and what happens?
I stayed out there. She came out a few minutes later.
What'd she say?
Mad that people were in her apartment using her stuff, and okay. We were there to pack up everything.
Did you rent a van in order to move your stuff, or no?
That no, was just... my father let us use the truck. He came with us with his truck to go there.
Okay, what paper are you waving?
Affidavit from my father.
Okay, I'll take that. And then, so you go there, and what happens? No, I'm sorry. What do you do about what happened? Do you call him?
I tried calling him, but I wasn't getting any service on my phone.
So you didn't call him?
No, I didn't call him.
When did you call him?
I called him a couple of days later.
How come a couple of days later? You had service before then.
Because I was very, very pissed off.
That would motivate you to call him, not to not call him. All right, so you called him when then? Another day in August?
I called him around the 23rd.
Of August?
Yes.
Okay, and when you called him, what happened?
Nobody answered the phone.
Okay, but you called him from your cell phone?
Yes.
Do you have proof of that phone call?
No, I had to get
Do you have proof of any phone calls to him?
No.
Okay, so when do you finally make contact with him?
We just had gotten contact recently.
Wait, what'd you do about this problem from August to now?
Well, I wasn't in the right state of mind. I ended up in the hospital. I was at a homeless shelter. I do have paperwork from the hospital. I ended up having a nervous breakdown.
No, but I guess what I'm saying is, why don't you just call the police right there where somebody's sleeping in your bed? What was the first time you heard from her?
Your Honor, I have a text from her in January of this year, so about 4 months afterwards. But I had heard informally through the tenant that was there that that she had come back and taken some of her things.
When?
A couple of weeks after she supposedly moved out.
Okay.
But when she first called me, Your Honor, here's what she said to me. She said, John.
In January.
No, in August.
In August.
Of last year. She's like, John, I've got to go. I've got to leave your apartment. She didn't specify the fact that she couldn't pay the rent. She had always had trouble paying the rent on time. She was always behind. Always. It was every month. It was, come back in a week, come back next month. So the money thing was nothing new to me. But I had represented her prior to her becoming a tenant of mine. Represented her a while back. I knew she was in trouble with the law. She had that year, she had gotten arrested again for another felony, assault second, stabbing her boyfriend or husband. So when she called me in August and she said, I gotta leave suddenly, I'm like, and then she says, I've got to, I can't take my things. I'm thinking to myself, Well, this is January. Vasquez, convicted felon. She stabbed her husband or boyfriend. She's probably going to jail. That's what I said to myself. She's going to jail. Or she's going to a
Did you just ask her? Did you ask her on that phone? Did you ask her, what do you mean you can't take your things?
Yes, about that. I was sort of happy to see her go, so I didn't really, want to press her and say, please stay here and continue not to pay me.
But there's a bunch of furniture, right?
There apparently, and what happened was, I had asked her, what do you want me to do with the furniture? She's like, I can't take it. Do whatever you want with
it. Did that happen? Did you have that conversation?
No, I said I'd let him know in a couple of days.
Have that conversation.
Yeah.
You said to him, I'll let you know what I'm going to do with my furniture in a couple of days. Yeah. And did you?
Yes, I did.
What did you do?
So how long does a landlord have to wait before the landlord can consider stuff that a tenant left behind abandoned?
I'd say 15 days.
You're just kind of like feeling 15?
15, half a month, yeah.
15 sound reasonable?
No.
Huh?
No, 30 days. Get out, buddy.
Well, if you have to wait 30 days, can you charge him for the 30 days the stuff is there?
Yeah, why not? It's like abandoned property, 30 days, yes.
Okay, fair enough. Going inside the courtroom.
I went over there on the 20th to get my furniture.
Okay, but that's not letting him know. And then according to you, you go over there, you can't get it, and you say nothing. You just do nothing. You don't call the police, you don't call him back, and then you finally reach him when? Because you have all these other issues going on, and then you reach him in January? Is that accurate?
Well, I actually text him in December and asked
him. Can I see the text?
No, I don't have anything with me.
Do you have the text?
I have the text, Your Honor.
Is it in December or January?
January.
Okay. By the way, when she told you, I'm not taking my stuff, blah, 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 who was sleeping in her bed? Who was that?
Well, what happened was, this is a two-family house in New Britain, and the second floor tenant was and is a great tenant. I learned that her daughter needed a place. So I told them, I said, look, the first floor moved out. She left her stuff. She's not taking it, as far as I know. Does your daughter want to rent it out? And so I rented it out probably 3 or 4 weeks later, not a week or two. But Ms. Vasquez had ample time to get her things out.
John, this is January. I don't want the furniture because people have been using the stuff. I have prices of the furniture. Can we settle this out of court? Now, that sounds like there was a conversation before that. It really does. That's January 21st.
I text him on the 21st
you
of December.
You can't get, just a second.
Okay.
You can't get prior, can you get him?
That's the first I have from her at
that number.
Did
you talk to her maybe?
But Your Honor, she probably.
Did you talk to her on the phone before this?
We must have, yes.
You must have, because it sounds like it's the middle of a thought.
Yes.
You know? This is not my problem. You left the apartment, basically abandoned it. You should have taken your things with you at the time. All right. In the best case scenario for you, you call your landlord and you tell him, I can't stay here. You have a conversation with him about leaving your stuff behind, which is not right. You're supposed to take your stuff out. He shouldn't have to deal with getting rid of your stuff. According to you, you tell him, I'll let you know. And according to you, you never let him know and never reach out until, let's go your way, December. You know, he has to wait a reasonable amount of time. But he doesn't have to wait forever. You don't get to leave your stuff in storage there for 4 months.
I understand that, ma'am. I didn't leave it there that long. It was only left there for a week.
No, you're still not understanding me. You were supposed to get back to him, and according to your own testimony, you didn't. So he doesn't know that you went there August 20th. He doesn't know that you wanted it. And worse, you never then actually let him know that you wanted it, where he could have said to the new tenant, she's going to come pick up her stuff on Friday, or we could have resolved it. So instead of doing that, you're suing for $3,800
for
your furniture.
I did text him and I let him know that I had saw the tenants in the apartment.
When did you text him?
On the 23rd.
Okay, now you've changed your testimony. I need proof of the 23rd text.
I don't have that.
Then you have no case and my verdict is for the defendant. You've abandoned it.
Well, when you have no case and you're the plaintiff, obviously it's not going to go for you. So what do you expect the judge to do there?
I don't know. I want to go home.
Well, you're going to go. Nobody's holding you up.
It's ridiculous. I know what I did, and I left my furniture there for 5 days, and I come back to get it, and now I can't get it because there's people living in there.
Mm. Well, all you needed was proof of everything that you were saying.
I had a witness right here.
All right. Sorry. Okay. It's too bad. Sorry. Head right down this way. All right, put yourself in her shoes. What is she, she's without her stuff.
Well, when you move out, you got to take your stuff. That's the bottom line. She testified it took her like 3 weeks to go back, I don't know about you, but when's the last time you moved out of a place and came back 3 weeks for your things? It's usually the same day or the next day. So,
what do you got, Harvey?
You should know these abandonment laws not only vary from state to state, in some cases from city to city. Go online, check where you live, and look for the rules.